Delhi in January 2018, a visitor asked Prime Minister Narendra Modi in an afternoon interaction at his residence. He said there's a sort of crisis building up in the judiciary. Is there some way you can step in and resolve things? He asked the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister replied, if I do something, journalists will tweet that Modi is interfering with the judiciary. Then he said, on a serious note, do you know how many families control India's judiciary? 60. Only 60 families control India's judiciary. You can count them on fingers. But the media won't write about it. That was the Prime Minister telling the visitor. I was privy to that conversation. His thoughts about the judiciary and its levers must have evolved in the past 6 years. Last week, he posted a letter written by 600 lawyers to the Chief Justice of India. It flagged concern about a vested interest group's attempt to pressure the judiciary in political cases, particularly those involving political figures accused of corruption. The letter did not name any individual or party or cite any specific instance. PM Modi ostensibly knew the letter's subtext. He wrote on X, Twitter, to browbeat and bully others is vintage Congress culture. 5 decades ago, they had called for a committed judiciary. That was PM Modi's tweet. Well, the Congress is reduced to a 46-member body in the Lok Sabha today. It has to be a wink moment for Rahul Gandhi if the Prime Minister and so many eminent lawyers find the Congress capable of pressurizing the highest court of the land today. Anyway, Congress leader Priyanka Gandhi Vadra retorted to PM Modi's post on Saturday. Behind that letter was an attempt to put pressure on the judiciary as scams are unraveling following the Supreme Court's decision on electoral bonds. That was Priyanka Gandhi Vadra. I mean, she suggested in a tweet. The Prime Minister himself entering the fray to make negative comment on the judiciary shows dal mein kuch jyada hi kala hai. There is something more fishy. There is something because of which he himself, the Prime Minister, is nervous, Priyanka wrote on Twitter. She has alleged that 41 corporate groups rated by the ED, the CBI and the Income Tax Department donated 2,592 crores to the BJP. She has also alleged that 38 corporate groups donated 2,004 crores to the BJP in exchange for contracts worth 3.8 lakh crore from BJP-led governments at the centre and in states. The BJP chose to ignore Priyanka Vadra's specific allegations. She has now scaled it up, dragging the Prime Minister into it, as she said in the tweet. But the ruling party is looking the other way, strangely, not responding to her. The least PM Modi could have expected from his party is to speak up, because he himself can't engage every opposition leader. The BJP we have known would have gone after her, especially when her husband Robert Vadra is embroiled in alleged land deals and money laundering cases, but the BJP did not. The party's refusal to engage Priyanka when she is attacking Prime Minister Modi is, I would say, flabbergasting. Incidentally, in the alleged Gurgaon land scam involving her husband Robert Vadra, the BJP-led Haryana government informed the High Court in April 2023 that there was no violation of rules or regulations in the transfer of land from Vadra's firm to the DLF. As Robert Vadra welcomed it, after the affidavit was given in the court, as he welcomed it, attacking the BJP for its what he called false accusations, a red-faced Haryana government sought to play it down, claiming that it was not a clean chit and investigations were still on. Between the lodging of the police case in the Gurgaon land deal in 2018 and the purported clean chit given by the government, the reality measure DLF bought electoral bonds worth 170 crores and all of them were redeemed by the BJP. Come to think of it, the BJP had no compunction accepting donations from the reality measure when it was being probed in the land scam case. The fact is, Prime Minister Modi cannot be keeping track of every donation the party receives and every clean chit a party-led government gives. Look at another interesting case. As reported in detail by the Indian Express, Aurobindo Pharma's director Sarath Chandra Reddy was arrested by the ED in the alleged Delhi liquor policy scam on the 10th of November 2022. 5 days later, on the 15th of November, Aurobindo Pharma bought bonds worth 5 crores. The BJP redeemed those bonds 6 days later, on the 21st of November. Reddy recorded his statement to the ED on 25th of April 2023, which is cited by the ED as a crucial piece of evidence against Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal. In May, the ED did not oppose his bail plea. In June, a special court allowed Reddy to turn approver and pardoned him. 4 months later, on the 8th of November, Aurobindo Pharma purchased bonds worth 25 crores. The BJP encashed them 9 days later. Incidentally, the bonds purchased by Aurobindo Pharma before Reddy's arrest were redeemed by many parties, including the BRS, the TDP and the BJP. But after Reddy's arrest, all bonds purchased by Aurobindo Pharma went to the BJP. If there are too many coincidences here, only the BJP can make sense of them. The Indian Express reported on 31st of March that Hyderabad headquartered Mega Engineering and Infrastructure Limited got contracts from the government and PSUs just before or immediately after it purchased electoral bonds. The company bought bonds worth 966 crores, out of which 584 crores went to the BJP. The BRS was the next big gainer with 195 crores. Other parties virtually got peanuts. There are many companies that bought electoral bonds which were worth several times more than their profits. They can't be real business operations. If a lay person can notice such glaring discrepancies in electoral bonds, imagine what a thorough investigation can reveal. It's easier to blame Prime Minister Modi because it's his government that introduced these bonds and defended them inside and outside the court. In hindsight, it also makes sense why the government vehemently defended donors' right to privacy at the cost of transparency. The fact is that every ruling party loved it, from the BJP to the Trinamool Congress, the DMK, the BRS, and you name it. The BJP has countered the allegations with the usual whataboutery. As Amit Shah said at a media event, it boils down to 303 MP. As Amit Shah said at a media event, quote, it boils down to the BJP with 303 MPs getting 6,000 crores and parties with a combined strength of 242 MPs cornering 14,000 crores. What is this whole fuss about? That was Amit Shah. Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman, she said at another event that bonds were encashed by all parties, and so what moral authority anybody has to speak? Is that it? It's like saying, is hammam mein sabhi nange hain, everybody is naked in this bathhouse, and so nobody has the right to object. TMC, BRS, DMK and many other BJP rivals encashed electoral bonds worth hundreds of crores, but the BJP has raised no question about these transactions and possible quid pro quo in these cases. I would say, understandably, there appears to be a consensus among parties to bury the electoral bonds matter. The ruling BJP never wanted the donors' details out in the first place. Except the Congress, no opposition party is keen on pursuing the matter. It was also evident from the silence of non-Congress India bloc leaders at Delhi's Ramlila ground rally on Sunday. Their joint resolution, laid out by Priyanka Vadra, did demand an SC-monitored probe into bonds, but India bloc leaders largely skipped its mention in their speeches. That makes it all the more incumbent on Prime Minister Modi to distance himself from the omissions and commissions of others, be it his party colleagues, allies, or adversaries. Of course, as the Prime Minister, he can't dissociate himself from the electoral bonds introduced by his government. Okay, let me repeat it. Of course, as the Prime Minister, he cannot dissociate himself from electoral bonds introduced by his own government. So, in an interview with a Tamil TV channel, he defended it, saying that it is due to the electoral bond system his government brought that the people could find out about the sources of funding and beneficiaries. Yet, he indirectly conceded that flaws in the system, when he said that no system is perfect and there can be shortcomings which can be improved. Fair enough, but as we just discussed, there is ample evidence with instances that electoral bonds are not really as corruption proof as the politicians would have us believe. There are clear suggestions of quid pro quo in many cases, and they don't involve only the BJP. Many regional parties may also need to answer. That's why there is need for a fair inquiry, and that's why Prime Minister Modi needs to ask tough questions to his BJP fund managers too. Modi is the one credited with shutting down the hammam or bathhouse, where every politician and party was nanga or naked. He must now break the emerging political consensus to let bygones be bygones on electoral bonds. That's all from me in this episode of Politically Correct. Thanks for watching.